So during this season of Lent, we have been asking the question, or listening to Jesus ask the question, who do you say that I am? And we've been exploring the different identities of Jesus and trying to figure out who exactly it is that we claim to follow and believe in. And so our first week, we talked about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, someone who guides us and protects us and leads us home and includes everybody in his flock. And then 2 weeks ago, we had the wonderful Reverend Ruth Merriam preach for us while I was away, and she talked about Jesus, the cross bearer, and how Jesus enters into this intimate relationship with us, including suffering with us, and how Jesus calls us to take up our crosses as well. And then last week while I was sick, Ruth preached again and shared the image of Jesus as the bread of life, who provides nourishment not only for our bodies but our souls and calls us to live abundantly. And this week we are talking about Jesus, the true vine. When asked this question, Jesus teaches his disciples saying, "I am the true vine." So this story comes in the Gospel of John, and it comes right after when Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room, gathered together for their Last Supper together, what we often celebrate during Holy Week as the Last Supper. They are having a Seder meal together as practicing Jewish people gathered for a last meal. And during this meal, Jesus models the ways that he wants them to be in relationship with each other and the world by modeling servant leadership, washing their feet. We'll hear that story in just a couple weeks. And he also tells them that he is going to die, that he's not going to be with them anymore. And this is something really, even though he's kind of been hinting at it and sometimes blatantly saying to it, the disciples are not ready to hear it. They don't want to hear that their dear friend and their teacher is going to die. But Jesus promises them in the midst of that that they will never be alone, that even as he passes on from his physical life on earth, he will be sending the Holy Spirit to be with them and lift them up and empower them to continue out the ministry and mission that God has called him and them to do. And so all of this happens, and then Jesus is making his way to the city of Jerusalem toward his final days on earth. And on his journey down there, he stops perhaps in the countryside. There's lots of like hilly mountains in this area and lots of greenery as well as lots of stone and lots of olive trees. And he stops in the midst of a vineyard, perhaps, and sits down with his disciples to continue teaching them, to try to encourage them and assure them that they will not be alone, and to continue sharing with them the teachings and the ministry he wants them to do. And so it's in this vineyard that Jesus sits down with his disciples and talks about another metaphor, another way that they might be able to understand him and identified with him. So he says, "I am the true vine. I am the real vine. I am the real deal, and I am authentic. I am the true vine, and God is the vine grower, giving me life. And you are the branches that grow out of this vine, and you are called to bear fruit, to produce this love that I am fueling you with, and make it real and alive in the world." And so Jesus shares this metaphor that creates this beautiful image of relationship between the vine grower and the vine and the branches that will produce fruit. And so as I was thinking about this metaphor, I realized I don't really know a lot about growing a vineyard or what that entails. I inherited my black thumb from my mom, so I'm really bad at plants. So I did a little research about what it takes to grow a vine and what that all involves. And I have a video to share with you from a research institute where they're, I cut it up a little bit, so they're going to talk a little bit about some of the aspects of vine growing. Maybe. If not, I'll explain it to you. Yes, maybe. It's loading. No? All right. That's okay. So you can search on YouTube how to grow a vineyard, and you'll find lots and lots of videos. So basically, in this video, there's a farmer that has a picture of a vine, and it grows up out of this stump in the ground, and then they have kind of like a lattice where the vine kind of grows around these ropes, right? And so there's a trunk that it comes out of, and then the main vine is going straight across out of the trunk. And then out of the trunk, there are all these different branches that come. And every year when they're growing, after they finish a crop that's produced the grapes, they have to do some pruning or some cutting away of some of the branches that have overgrown or maybe have produced all the fruit they can. And so they cut some of those away and leave for the beginning of the season. There's like all these branches sprawled out. But at the beginning of the season, they typically find the best branches toward the middle of the trunk on the vine. And they usually leave like only two or three full branches left on the vine. And that'll spark the growth for the rest of the vine. And the one cool thing I wish you could see in the video, but it's okay. They have these things that I had never heard of called latent buds. And basically, they're these dormant buds in the vine that have not yet sprouted. And when they do this severe pruning, when they cut off giant parts of the branches, it injures the plant a little bit. But that injury and that deep cutting sparks this new growth, and it wakes up the latent buds that are just waiting to burst forth, and you end up getting these beautiful branches that are healthy and produce healthy fruit. But if they don't cut those, make those major difficult cuts that are cutting some of the really thick branches away, those buds that have all this potential kind of stay dormant and asleep. So I just thought it was this beautiful image because in the gospel today, we hear how God, the vine grower, has to do some pruning of us, has to do some cutting away. And as Jody shared, sometimes we have to do some of that pruning and let go some of that stuff and maybe do some major pruning so that that potential, that latent bud within us has room to grow and has room to produce healthy fruit. So sometimes that might mean letting go of something major in our lives, like maybe an addiction. Maybe it means pruning away an unhealthy relationship. Maybe it means pruning away some self-talk, some negative self-talk that we do to ourselves, some self-doubt we have in our minds, or those voices in our head we talked about before that say that you're not enough. Maybe it's about pruning those away and letting that latent bud, that dormant bud inside of you that brings you closer to your authentic self to be able to say, I am enough, and think about the new life that can grow out of that. So in this difficult text sometimes where it's saying doing all this pruning and God is cutting away all this stuff, God is making room for this new life to grow within us. So it begs the question for us today, what do we need to severely prune away in order to trigger that new growth? What do we need to severely prune away in order to trigger that new growth? This Lenten time is a time where we start to think about stuff like that. But the good news in that is even though sometimes that pruning can be difficult and painful and we don't want to do that, we are always connected to the vine in Christ. Jesus is always abiding with us, and we are always invited to abide in Jesus so that we are never alone. We're always connected to the vine, which is connected to the vine grower of God. This week while I was sick, I did a lot of Netflix binging of shows. and one of the new shows that's out on Netflix, if you haven't watched it and you have Netflix, I highly recommend it, is a remake of the early 2000s show Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Have you seen that? So the show is about these five gay men who do a big makeover for a straight man. They like go into his home and they make over his wardrobe and his hair, and they redo parts of his house, and they teach him like healthy habits and give him some like cooking lessons, things like that. And in this new, they did a remake on Netflix, so it's just called Queer Eye, and they did some updated stuff to the show. So it's not, they're not just making over straight men, they make all over men of all different sexual orientations and identities. But the really cool thing about this show is that it's not your typical makeover show. So these guys aren't coming in and trying to completely redo this person so that they're unrecognizable even to themselves. They're not trying to make over the person so that they meet society's standards of what is handsome or beautiful or what is right and appropriate. They are doing the makeover to get at the root of the person's authentic self, and to make that part of their lives grow. And it's amazing. They spend time not just bringing them to shopping or to a hair salon, but they spend time building relationship and talking about who they are, what they're passionate about, what latent buds they might have hiding in their souls that they were scared to trigger that growth, and what things they need to prune away to make that growth possible. And so this makeover by the end, maybe the person doesn't look very different, but their whole confidence and that you see is changed, and you see their true authentic self. So I highly recommend that show. The version of the Bible that I've most have loved lately is called the Voice Translation, and it's been fueling some of this narrative script kind of scripture passages we've had, and it says this about this passage. At a time when all of Jesus's disciples are feeling as if they are about to be uprooted, Jesus sketches a picture of this new life as a flourishing vineyard, a labyrinth of vines and strong branches steeped in rich soil, abundant grapes hanging from their vines, ripening in the sun. Jesus sculpts a new Garden of Eden in their imaginations, one that is bustling with fruit, sustenance, and satisfying aromas. That is the kingdom life. It is all about connection, sustenance, and beauty. But within this promise of life is the warning that people must abide in Christ or they will not experience these deep blessings. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, the real deal, the authentic life presence." Jesus offers us relationship, growth, new possibility, and calls us to be rooted and connected in him so that his love is our love, so that we can produce healthy, life-giving fruit for ourselves and for others, sharing Christ's love with the world. We have an opportunity coming up in just less than a week and a half about to do some of this abiding in Christ, to rooting ourselves in Christ and letting Christ abide in us. We have an opportunity to feel connected to that true vine, the real deal Jesus. And so I would invite you to open your bulletin and you'll see a registration sheet. We have a church-wide retreat on not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, March 23rd and 24th, where we can allow God to do some of that pruning, and where we can allow Christ to do some of that rooting himself in us so that we can be fruit producers of Christ's love. So we'll be having the Reverend Dr. Wanda Stahl on the Saturday day of the retreat come and lead a retreat on how we can nurture our spirituality, nurture our lives, have some of that good fruit in a 24/7 world where there's all these branches kind of overwhelming us, and how we can start to prune away some of that and nurture our soul so that we can produce that healthy fruit. So I strongly encourage you to sign up for this retreat. We're doing sign up and registration today. It's $50 to stay overnight, and that includes all your meals. There's a spot for dietary restrictions on there. It's at Camp Mechawana, which is a United Methodist camp just 30 minutes away. You can also come just for the day on Saturday. It's $25 for the day. And we want everyone to be able to enjoy this, so we're asking that you pay what you can. So if you are gifted with an abundance of resources and you want to make it possible for someone else to come on the retreat and you feel like you can pay a little extra, we invite you to do that. Or if you're someone that really wants to go but can't quite make it in their budget, that's not in your budget this month, but you want to be able to go, just pay what you can. And we'll be collecting the final payments next Sunday. But I think this will be a wonderful opportunity not only to root ourselves in Christ, but to link our arms like Jody had the kids do with each other in this community and grow closer together. So I invite you to that opportunity and see maybe what latent buds are waiting to burst forth with new life in you. The Message version of this passage, which is a paraphrase version of the Bible, says, Jesus says, "I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant." This Lenten season, may we connect with the true vine. May we let God do that big pruning in our lives and do the nurturing, so that when we celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday in a few weeks, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.